Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Good morning and welcome. 6 minutes, 7 minutes after 8 a.m. on this, the Thursday edition of Feedback. Thanks for letting us be part of it. 715-845-2155 is the phone number if you want to be a part of the program. We'd love to hear from you. We are waiting to hear from Senator Ron Johnson. He is scheduled to call in this morning. Some questions that we want to talk. First of all, I'd like to get his opinion about the president's speech on Syria, if he agreed with Congressman Sean Duffy, we talked to yesterday, that he gave his opinions, what he thought was going on, where he thought we were going with all this. Give Senator Johnson the opportunity to weigh in as well so we can hear from both houses, don't you know? Also, there are some interesting developments that are happening. As we reported in the news, Vladimir Putin wrote an open letter, or opinion piece in New York Times?
It was an op-ed. Was it in the Times? I got to look.
The interesting thing is that we have a world leader that writes an op-ed piece in one of our publications. I find that to be a bit odd.
Well, I don't think it's the first time it's happened.
No, it's not.
Maybe it's the first time for Putin, but I think other leaders have done
it. I just find it to be an interesting circumstance, a high testimony to our belief in the freedom of speech. Absolutely a high testimony. But one of the things that he said is that there is a real danger, a very big danger, in allowing people to believe that they are exceptional. That says a lot about the differences between America and the rest of the world. We'll get into that, too. We'll get into a whole bunch of it. But first, let's go to the phones. Senator Johnson, thank you very much for calling us. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Seth. How are you doing?
So far, so good. We're getting ready for the weekend. How about you?
Sure.
Sure, why not? All right, let's jump right into it. The president spoke a couple nights ago and let us know everything that we need to know about what's happening in Syria and that he's in control. He's got his finger on the pulse of world politics. Nobody should worry about anything. He's being diligent. I don't exactly buy it, but what's your opinion of what he said?
Well, he's starting to lay out the case of why the events in Syria actually are concern to America's national security interests. He should have been talking about this for the last couple of years. He should have been working with other nations around the globe to develop a coalition of the willing to try and replace the criminal Assad regime with a more functioning governing coalition. But he's making the case now. Unfortunately for him, and I think for America's credibility, he's not been particularly successful making the case. And so President Putin of Russia now is throwing him a little bit of a lifeline here. And let's face it, I think because of at least the threat of military action, it did one of the results was Russia admitting, it's kind of hard not to admit because we've got such conclusive evidence that chemical weapons have been used, that the Assad regime has chemical weapons. So I'm not questioning the fact that it's probably a pretty cynical offer by Russia. I don't trust him much further than I could throw him, but I think this gives us an opportunity to really put a lot of pressure on Russia to make good on their rhetoric. I mean, well, they're telling the world that they're going to work with the world community, the international mm-hmm. community, to try and secure those chemical weapons. We should push them hard to make good on that rhetoric.
This actually brings up the next subject that I wanted to ask you about. There is some debate as to whether or not the proof that Syria has chemical weapons and has used them, there's some debate as to whether the proof is definitive, which is
at least in Putin's mind anyway.
Well, in Putin's mind, but there's some others that have raised the issue, and it's raising the specter of, is Assad in full command of his military, or is he dealing with not only a civil war, but perhaps a break in the rank and file of his military? Any input on that?
Well, I think what we can say is that it's pretty conclusive that chemical weapons have been used repeatedly. Anybody who's looked at the intelligence, I don't think anybody's questioning that they don't believe that the use was by elements within the Assad regime. I don't think anybody's seen any evidence, nor has anything been presented that would tie that use directly back to Bashar Assad. But so you can speculate: is he under full control? Was there a rogue element within his regime that did this? I think we can say pretty conclusively it wasn't done by the rebels. It was actually done by elements of his regime, which is a problem. Which again, we have some, let's say basic interests between Russia and America, shared interest, because I don't think it's in Russia's interest that those chemical weapons fall in the hands of al-Qaeda-backed rebels. So the opportunity we have here, as poorly as this entire episode has been handled by this administration, let's take advantage of this glimmer of opportunity here and really push Russia to utilize its influence as the number one ally of Syria, the people that are supporting this criminal regime. Let's push them hard to make good on their rhetoric to try and secure those chemical weapons.
What opportunities do you see for the United States in all this to reassert that, yes, we are in control, yes, we are a superpower, yes, we actually have some grip and understanding of world politics? I believe our president has done a tremendous amount of damage to our respectability in the world. His attempt to, appease and to make everybody like us has ended up giving, in my opinion, and I'd like your input on this, giving our enemies confidence that we are in a weakened position and ready to be struck again.
Well, let me first start out. I don't believe what has been harmed is America's long-term credibility. I mean, we saw that at the end of the Carter administration, just the election of a real leader turned that situation around in a day. So, again, America is the world superpower. We have an awesome military. Nobody can challenge it. But what certainly is at stake is over the next 3 years, America's credibility because of the current leadership. And it's really President Obama's credibility. I'm not sure what, short of just him taking unilateral military action, could really restore that credibility. I'm not sure that would happen anyway. But let's just review why his credibility is so damaged. It started with his apology tour, followed up by, basically unilateral withdrawal of the missile defense shield from the Czech Republic and Poland. He didn't even utter a word of support for the Iranian protesters. And the real blown opportunity here was after we spent 45, sacrificed 4,500 American lives, countless additional injuries, $1 trillion trying to stabilize Iraq, set up a democracy. He would not even negotiate a status of force agreement in Iraq to help consolidate those gains to act as a stabilizing force in the Middle East, which has then resulted in Iran being able to, with impunity, overfly Iraq to supply Syria, and certainly has not helped that situation whatsoever. So this president's credibility has just been degraded over his 5 years. Certainly the events over the last, and his performance over the last couple of weeks, have done nothing to bolster his credibility, and that is a real concern, certainly over the next 3 years while he's in power. I'm not sure what he can really do to restore that credibility. That's why I think at this point, with the horrible situation we're in right now, we got to grab that lifeline and just push really hard on the diplomatic front to hopefully have Russia realize its shared interest in trying to secure those chemical weapons.
You being, for lack of a better phrase, on the front lines and dealing with the administration's attitudes and procedures and so forth, I see our president as a micromanager, one that is myopic in his viewpoint of world politics and does not think in a realistic sense of the big world picture. I think he's very idealistic. But what do you see, being there in D.C., what do you see as his agenda with the way he's handling things?
Well, I guess what I see from this president is somebody who believes that just by talking, that he is so persuasive that he can actually move world events, and it's just not possible. I mean, the way you... So he goes out and he just really, if he says it, he thinks it's going to become truth, and it isn't. I mean, the only way that America maintains its credibility is is we have to show strength. We can't show weakness. We actually have to lead. You know, we're the world's superpower.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we like it or not, when America doesn't lead, that creates leadership voids. And very dangerous people fill those leadership voids, and the world becomes a less peaceful, more dangerous place. So, you know, do I believe America's perfect? No. But I do firmly believe that over our history, America has been a phenomenal force for good. We continue to be a phenomenal force for good. And when we don't lead, the world suffers. And let's face it, even these countries that rail against the United States publicly, behind the scenes, they are looking for American leadership because even they realize how crucial we are to world stability and world peace. So it's a tragedy when we have a president that doesn't know how to wield that influence, garner the respect of the world, and lead. But that's the position we're in currently and for the next 3 years. And you know, certainly I view my job as a United States Senator to be as responsible as possible and try and do everything I can to maintain the credibility of the United States, certainly during my term, and do whatever I can to help this president bolster his credibility.
Well, Senator, I appreciate your time. I know that you have a lot of demands on your time. I know that you don't have but just a second or two left. I would love to invite you. There are some issues regarding immigration and Benghazi and other things that we would love to talk about just when we have a little bit more time. So I'm going to open it up for you. Anytime you have availability, would love to talk to you some more.
Happy to do it. And also, when we're up in the wall, sorry, next time maybe stop by your studio and do an in-studio hit.
Would love to. I'll make some really bad coffee, and we'll see if that makes any difference.
I'm pretty open to bad coffee.
Yeah. All right,
as long as it's hot. Take care.
That we can do. Senator, thank you very much for being on with us. All right, Senator Ron Johnson giving us a little bit of insight of what's going on in the Senate and his opinion of the foreign, I dare say, leadership out of D.C., All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. This is the Wisconsin Morning News Feedback Edition. Your phone calls next, 715-845-2155.
Severe weather updates on WSAU.com. And on air at AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback. 823.
Can I ask you something?
715-845-2155. Yes?
There was a time back when W and his minions, Cheney and Rumsfeld, were starting their adventure in Iraq that...
Oh, I love how this is being prefaced.
The Republicans were up in arms in the country because the Democrats had the audacity to complain and to criticize the president's policy on foreign policy when it came to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
The suggestion was that criticism of the president stopped at the water's edge. I think I heard that comment a zillion times, that you didn't criticize the president on foreign policy. Something obviously
you
has changed over
no,
the
no,
years.
No. You're misunderstanding what that means. If you are in a foreign country, you do not criticize
the president. No. Back then and before that, the thinking was that you did not criticize the president when it came to foreign policy.
No, that's not what that means. That is not what that means. That means you can criticize the president all you want about anything within our boundaries. But you travel to a foreign land, you do not criticize our president in a foreign land.
Well, there's certainly that. But
that's what that means.
But it goes farther than that.
But that's what that means.
But it certainly has changed since then. Because obviously now the Republicans...
I do not agree with going into a foreign country and bad-mouthing even President Barack Hussein Obama.
But you think it's okay for the Republican Party chairman to call the president of the United States an embarrassment?
He is an embarrassment.
That, oh, please.
If he is talking to the American public, giving his viewpoint, Obama is an embarrassment. He is a progressive... he is a pie in the sky... Progressive,
disagree with his policy all you
individual.
Want, but when you call a president ignorant and an embarrassment, that is bad.
He is ignorant of foreign policy, and he is an embarrassment. And I don't say that because of personal issues. I do not say that because of the color of his skin. So all of you nut jobs out there on the liberal side that say, oh, you don't like him because he's black. Nope. I don't like him because I don't like what he's doing to our country. His policy issues, and his policy issues only. He is ignorant of foreign policy and how the real world works, and he is an embarrassment to the United States.
This idea that you know more about foreign policy than Barack Obama does is pretty laughable.
Really?
It really is. And I would say the same thing about me and all the people that call this show as well.
I'm glad you put me in that category. All right, do we have a caller or not?
We don't. He had already been on once this week.
but he
still had to take the time to call.
Well, I appreciate that. Send us email, seth.meal@wsau.com, if you would like to put in there. Listen, the only people I see supporting Barack Obama and his foreign policy are the people that are blindly following him and are also about as ignorant as foreign policy goes as he is. Those are the only people that this time are blindly following him. They are refusing to see the facts of what's happening. Name me one person that you would say is an objective, realistic, educated individual with a true worldview that is supporting what Barack Obama has been doing in world policy.
Really? You're talking about everybody that...
I'm asking you a specific question.
Well, we could talk about people on the other side of the aisle that have embraced some of
and
the policies.
As usual, you're not answering. You're dancing
around the
issue.
All right, John McCain. There you go. John McCain.
John McCain is not supporting his viewpoint and his actions. John McCain has been as critical as
John
ever.
McCain has been the one Republican who at least will look at the situation without being ultra critical just because it's something coming out of the mouth of Barack Obama. That's what really annoys me the most about some of these Republicans like Reince Priebus. Reince Priebus is a poster child for everything that's wrong with the two-party system in this country. The pandering to the big money guys and the suggestion that you would criticize and you would rip apart any policy as long as it's coming out of the mouth of your opponent.
I'm not going to argue with that. You do not become an obstructionist. Just because the president says it or it comes from the left side of the aisle does not mean that you wholeheartedly disagree with it. If we actually had a JFK-style Democrat run for president, holy crap, I'd probably vote for him. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to some of these moderate pukes that have been running on the Republican side, you actually get a JFK-style Democrat, I you'd have my attention.
Well, you've got the representative of this district who is basically being an obstructionist in the U.S. House of Representatives at this point.
I do not agree with an obstructionist viewpoint of politics. That does nothing to help. That does nothing to benefit the United States of America, which is the job that they were hired to do.
Careful, you're not going to get invited to the Republican Party dinners this winter.
They can all kiss my chalky white ass. I don't care about being invited. I care about talking about the truth and making sure that we move America forward. If the politicians and the Republicans don't like what I have to say, kiss it. Kiss it. I don't care. It is not about politics. It's not about left and right. It's about what is best for our country. And on that, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. WSAU Wisconsin Morning News, 715-845-2155 or seth.mila@wsau.com.
The Wisconsin Morning News now. The Jerry Bader Show at 9 on AM 550, FM 99.9 WSAU.